trying something different, and why not? What a start for Joshua Kimmich and Bayern. As it bubbles around, and Müller was there, and Pavard's there! Oh, it's too easy for Bayern! Benjamin Pavard! They had set up the defenders again. Sadio Mane! A goal by the African Footballer of the Year in his Bundesliga debut. And no wonder Julian Nagelsmann is delighted. Grim faces all round in the Frankfurt camp. 3-0 to Bayern. They're running away with it. Trying to take the game by the scruff of the neck once more. Müller. And it's another goal for Bayern. Jamal Musiala says thank you very much. Absolutely unstoppable.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another edition of Deutschland Calcio. The Bundesliga finally got underway last week in the German Super Cup as Bayern Munich took on RB Leipzig in an 8-goal thriller. Bayern win 5-3. And we're just going to jump some of this awesome action that took place. Let's talk about that wicked hot start from Bayern off the bat.
Yeah, so it's a whole new generation here. Not generation. It's a whole new era here without Robert Lewandowski. But as I told you before, I think Bayern Munich. You can say that Bayern Munich spent a truckload of money, but they did, and they did, but they did it very wisely, and not all of their deals were very expensive. Obviously, the acquisition of Matthias De Ligt for $75 million is really what drove up their spending for the summer. Outside of that, they did not spend a truckload of money, and they made really smart signings. And obviously, Tell, who they just got at the end of the window, or not end of the window, but recently, dries up that sort of spending spree a little more. But before that, they had made moves like Ryan Gravenberch for 18.5. You got Maruzi, who's from Ajax for free, and then Sadio Mane for like 40, 45-ish, which, considering the quality of those players, that's not a lot of money for how they started the window, and obviously they went on to spend more money with some of their other signings. And he knew Robert Lewandowski goes out the door, and, you know, a lot of people are making a bid out of this. I thought it was foolish for him. Not for Bayern. Bayern looked perfectly fine without him. They didn't seem to lack those things that Robert had. And yeah, Robert did score 50 goals last season. But with what they brought in and with the evolution of Julian Nagelsmann's team, you saw right off the bat how quickly they got things off and running. And look, RB Leipzig is a top team. I said for a long time, I think this is the best team in this league that can remotely challenge them. I don't see Dortmund having the materials this season to challenge them in the same way. They have the second best coach in the league who's very tactical and makes good decisions in crucial moments. So, you know, but at the beginning of this game, it just looked like it was going to be like their opener today against Frankfurt, where they just got off to this wicked start. You know, we see Musiala score, who was terrific in midfield, especially in that first half. We saw Benjamin Pavard, who is quote unquote we'll get into this part of it, but wasn't a player that they were desperate for necessarily, who could have found an avenue to leave the club. So he had him there scoring a goal. You have Sadio Mane getting on the score sheet, and then in the second half, you saw goals from Gnabry and Sané. But getting off to that quick start, 3-0 against Leipzig, who's supposed to be their biggest challenger this season. I think Leipzig on Leipzig's end, they made mistakes in that first half. They were brutal. They were flat. They didn't provide much. They had a few chances early in that game where Nkunku was trying to make things happen, but didn't really happen. But the way Bayern kind of took the game by the scruff of the neck in that first, I don't know, half hour, and kind of showed the world that we don't need Robert Lewandowski. Obviously, if he was here, it'd be great, but it's not necessary. You saw Thomas Müller and Sané, Mane, I'm going to be doing this all season, linking up in the attack, and I thought they moved the ball well. They defended well enough. They kind of controlled that midfield, and again, that was a really wicked start to that game. And obviously in the second half, Leipzig found a way back into it. But that first half, it did look like we were heading for a 6 or 7 goal throughout, whatever route in that game. But that first half in the Super Cup, it was basically they ended it in a half hour, which was really antagonizing on Leipzig, but also it was tremendous to see how quickly they kind of got on the same page.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching this and I'm like, okay, I kind of picked Bayern to win because I knew Bayern, but I mean, just looking at this team, you have Mane, Gnabry, Müller, obviously Musiala rocking that midfield like a certified G. You have a lot of the core pieces that were part of the team last season with the subtraction of Lewandowski. And I'm like, post Lewandowski, you're really seeing this. Obviously, you're not having a person who's constantly scoring all your goals, but you're seeing this team work cohesively to get the goals, to get those points. And I mean, even though it was a Super Cup, it's still one of those things where you're like finally seeing the more of the cohesiveness because you don't have your key striker anymore. So that forces you alone to work as a team to get the results. And you, I mean, it just showed in that first half hour. It was just like today's match against Frankfurt. And so it was like that first half hour, you saw them go up 3-0. Obviously, we'll touch more on this later on, but it was the same concept that happened in the Super Cup. I mean, Musiala being able to facilitate chances and get the ball in the back of the net on his own is just amazing. This kid is amazing. I'm just going to say it now, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, you have Mane continuing to work at a really high level for that team. You have Müller being another mostly a facilitator, but will find the back of the net occasionally throughout the upcoming season. I mean, he was continuing to do what he does best. And then, of course, you have Gnabry and all these other players working as a cohesive unit. And it just really showed on the side of Frankfurt. I mean, you had
Leipzig
just.
It's hard. I know it's hard because we're talking about Bayern playing two different teams. I get it. I almost did.
Well, forget it. We'll cut this out at some point. But
you don't need to. It's fine.
But it's like you're seeing on the side of Frankfurt, you had them trying that first half hour to get some sort of momentum going. But just like today's match, Bayern was just there overpowering them at every turn. As soon as Frankfurt or Leipzig had a counterattack, it was like they were right there getting that ball back and running it back down the pitch. And so, I mean, in general, it was just very difficult for Frankfurt to get any sort of momentum going. So it was just frustrating. But obviously, in the second half, things kind of turned around. And so this is kind of like the transition. I mean, Frankfurt started off with a run. I'm going to just take it off so I can continue my thought. I mean, Frankfurt was kind of off to a rocky. No, Leipzig. I can't.
Red Bull Leipzig. Say it that way so you don't get confused.
Okay, I will try that. But yeah, you had Leipzig working to get something going, and you saw them fight tooth and nail, and obviously it was a little too late, but you saw them get 3 goals back in a span of, I think it was like 20 minutes or so. And it was just so that but it was also in turn because of their substitution changes. Obviously, things weren't working so well with some of the players that were currently on there, but you brought on Olmo and Silva, which gave them that extra pizzazz that they needed to kind of get back into this thing. But obviously it was a little too late because Bayern in that first half hour killed it.
So, right, real quick before I go, I launch on Silva and Olmo. I just want to ask you something because you are obviously in your club plays the similar formation that Bayern put out on that night, and they put that, I think it was the same formation today. With the absence, just answer this quick question, then I'll go on to this thing. With the absence of Rob Lewandowski, what did you think about them going to a 5-man midfield? Because for you probably don't know this, but last year, so this is what you're going to see with Nagelsmann. This is just another quick bit that you can think about going into season. You're going to see him switch his formation a lot. Nagelsmann typically switches his formation based on opponent and based on what kind of lineup he's going to go with. So you're not going to see this 3-5-2 formation all season. You're going to see some different ones going for it. But with this formation in this game, instead of going for the 3-2-3-1 or whatever it was that they played a lot of last season, you saw without Rutt Lewandowski, who they used to play with just one up top, which is what they had done all season. Even if the formations were different all season, they play with that one striker. What did you think about the decision to put Mane and Müller together and then stacking the midfield with the three center backs?
I think that kind of was beneficial because, I mean, if you look at it from the Frankfurt side of things, Frankfurt are a solid team. If they had lined up the other way, do I think they would have gotten the win? Obviously, yes, because this is Bayern. I mean, they're stacked from top to bottom. But would it have been just a little bit more difficult? It is possible because you don't have that lone striker up top anymore. So you kind of have to figure out, okay, if we put two strikers up in the front and then we stack our midfield with center backs and then the wing backs, I mean, you obviously would be able to have more of the defensive side with the wing backs if you needed them to fall back or progress forward with the center backs. But it kind of helped them because Frankfurt are a strong team themselves on depending on the day. And I mean, Leipzig, fuck me. This is going to be just one of them games where it's just like, eh. But
it's too bad we can't put another game in between the two. Otherwise, we wouldn't be fucking up.
Yeah, I wouldn't be screwing up this bad, ladies and gentlemen. But just bear with me. But, I mean, obviously, Leipzig are a good team. I mean, I think they finished second last season. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, they finished second the year before that. Last year, remember, they were, I don't know, I mentioned this before, that Leipzig and Freiburg were kind of going at it, and they ended up getting it last, they got fourth last day of the season, but they did win the German Cup last year, winning their first trophy in club history, so.
So, yeah, I mean, so, this is a team that has had success in the past, and so, it's one of those situations where you kind of look at it, and I have no clue where I was going with this. My brain just stopped. Damn it.
That's all right.
But anyway, I'll try to get back. Hang on. Okay, there we are. But yeah, if you look at it from the Leipzig side, they're a strong team to begin with, and the way that they're lined up, they would probably have taken it to Bayern a little bit more if they hadn't changed the formation. I mean, if it was the three, however they normally would line up last season with the low.
I get what you're trying to say. I'm going to help you here. I think the main point that needs to be made here is that it was an element of surprise because Leipzig knows that Robert Lewandowski isn't on the team anymore. That's all they know. And they know Nagelsmann is going to frustrate you with his rotation of the squad. So when they go into that situation, you're looking at a team that you have no clue how they're going to line up. And it's not like they get to know what Bayern puts out before they put their lineup in. So Leipzig did what they were going to do. Leipzig's formation was fine. The way they set up was fine. But they just had a difficulty adapting to it because they didn't know the formation, what Bayern was going to do. Because just another thing to mention, Sadio Mane is a forward, but he usually plays out wide. right? So he's not technically a you know, like a regular, not a regular type of striker, but a natural striker. Then you look at Thomas Muller, who a lot of the time last season played behind Robert Lewandowski, who is also not technically a regular type of striker. So I think the fact that they didn't know what they were going to do, and then they had that system, I think it really kind of affected their confidence in that first half, and so on.
Yeah, definitely. But obviously, Leipzig struggled in the first 30 minutes, but then obviously Olmo and Silva came on, and it just gave them a renewed vigor. They were able to press a little bit more, and you saw them, even though they ended up losing in the long run, they did get three goals, which is huge. When they could, it could have.
No, okay. I'm sorry. I thought you were handing it over. It's fine. Anyway, so I'll just sort of break down what I got from the Silva and Danny Olmo inclusion and Yuki's thing. So the way they started getting the scoring going, it took a little while, and it wasn't through Silva or Olmo, but I think the look of the team was much different. Unfortunately, Leipzig were in a shitty situation because their center back just went to PSG a day before the Super Cup. Again, they agreed on the deal, but they didn't have enough time to deal with a replacement or what they were going to do with the formation. So they went with, not to say an unproven situation, because the guy who slid in for him had played last season, but they didn't have enough time to kind of work with the back line the way they would have liked, maybe ahead of the game. So that's why they struggled, their defensive issues. But when Olmo and Silva came on, they played with much more confidence. They're moving the ball well, and I know that the Bayern opened up the score even further not long after that happened. But the way they kind of pushed the tempo with the way they were going after it, and then you know they get a corner kick. Hostenberg just gets ahead on it and ends up sticking in the back of the net to bring them back. And obviously, we know Bayern just came back, not long after that and scored a fourth, and they're in a hole again. But Silva kind of playing that front line with Olmo kind of on the outside or sometimes in behind, I think it gave them a much better option in the capacity of it. And then they're chipping. Silva comes on and hits the bar within a minute. So you felt that there was a shift of the momentum when he entered that game. And remember, we want to see the Silva – again, this is going to fuck you up even more, so I'm sorry I have to do it. But the season that Silva had at Frankfurt, coincidentally, 2 years ago when he had 29 goals, we want to see that version of him. And you start to see the way he kind of had that going for him and makes an impact immediately. And then, as we know, they get the penalty, and then Christopher Nkunku, probably the best player in the league. It's up for debate, but he was player of the year last year. Scores one of the prettiest penalties I've ever seen in my life. Just so perfectly executed and landed in the perfect spot, just an inch above Neuer's fingers, because he did guess correctly. So that gets him back, and now all of a sudden you're looking at a 4-2 game. There's plenty of time to try to get it back and then lay it on. As we know, Danny Olmo comes down the flank, beats his man, and slides it in the smallest window possible to score. So I think Silva and Olmo coming into the game, I think, made them a much more dangerous thing. And again, it wasn't like they were dominating. Bayern still were kind of in control. And they made some subs. They made some changes that may have affected the comeback. And then obviously – they're really pushing that last 5 minutes, and it looks like they could crack one, and we could be going for a 4-4 game going into extra time. But then, obviously, on the last play of the game, Alfonso Davies gives it to Sané, and, man, just a speedster goes all the way down, stops, positions himself so the defender can't get in the way, and then just kind of slicks it into the back of the net that obviously killed it. But I think we can appreciate – Dominic Tesco's decision to make those changes immediately. He didn't wait another 5-10 minutes. And I think, again, against another team, an adjustment like that will go a long way, because I think when Silva Olmo came on, it was a much more balanced game, and they were much more difficult to contain with. And again, they did come back, but it was a little too late. And it's hard going down by three goals and still finding a way in it. And again, they were 5 minutes away from that. And the Bayern defense wasn't amazing. I don't think it was bad. And Neuer probably could have done better on the Olmo one. But I think the way they came out aggressively is just – it set the tone for it. But again, obviously, it did come off. But I think you still have to commend Leipzig. And they still should feel confident about their upcoming season based on the fact that they did find life in that game when they should never had it.
Yeah, and speaking of that, you had mentioned the defense. Obviously, Bayern won another trophy to add to their major, major silverware cabinet. But you had mentioned their defense. Like, what is your level of concern for their defense going into this season?
All right. So I think they were – it's hard because in that first 45 minutes, their defense was terrible. Again, they just looked pathetic. And, again, I understand. I'll give some – I'm not going to kill Samakin, who was the defender that came in to basically to start instead of Koyate, Mikaeli, who went to PSG. But I think as a unit, they were unorganized. They didn't know what they're doing. Not that they didn't know what they're doing, but they weren't positioned in a good way. And it allowed Bayern Munich to have opportunities that perhaps they shouldn't have had. And I think if they were stronger, had a tighter line and didn't go for so much risk, I think, because you look at the Musiala goal, it's basically a failed clearance that gives him that ball in that. And again, you can say it was brilliant. His touch, he gets around and just slicks it into the back of the net. I know that's a great goal, but if Leipzig would have just cleared the ball out, they're probably still not winning the game, but they wouldn't have conceded there. And the thing is, once Bayern scored that goal, it was like the floodgates had opened, and that goal was avoidable. He should not have scored that goal because the ball should have been cleared out. He tried to do too much with it. He loses the ball as Kimmich is trying to chase it down. And then it just lands to arguably their best playmaker on the pitch. So that's not going to be a good thing. And obviously, I'm content with the fact that Peter Galashi is going to bail them out most times because he has that capability. He's one of the best goalkeepers in this league. And I'm not concerned about him being able to make saves. I'm concerned with his back line putting him in a position where he has to make those saves. And sometimes when it's sort of set up like that, they're going to show the vulnerability. And Peter is a great goalkeeper, but he can't do everything. And he can't alleviate defensive mistakes. If they put him in a fucked up situation, as good as he is, eventually that's not going to be enough. So I like the fact that they've now brought in David Rom from Hoffenheim, who did not play this game as the deal was finalized afterwards. But again, that's more of an attacking fullback rather than a defensive specialist, even though he has the capabilities of defending. But hopefully, with a more consistent backline, they'll have that sort of – they'll be more comfortable with each other, and I think their defense will improve. But so I'm not concerned as far as their long-term ambitions, but I think the defense, if it doesn't clean up, and it's just one game, we don't know how they're going to look tomorrow, but if it doesn't clean up, I think they could have issues – long term when it matters the most. So I'm concerned, but I'm not devastated by it because I think they will improve with the as the season continues on. But what are your thoughts on both on the substitutions and the defensive issues that we saw from Leipzig?
It was difficult to watch him in that first half hour because we've seen Bayern, even though I'm getting more into Bundesliga this season, anytime I've watched Bayern, whether it's in the league whenever I get a chance to watch Bundesliga last season, or it's watching them in the Champions League, once they score that opening goal with how strong their attack is, the floodgates come wide open, as you had just basically perfectly worded it at that moment. It's going to be very difficult to get some sort of momentum because you know Bayern is going to come at you hot and quick. So, in regards to Leipzig, it was just a very tough situation in that first half where you saw a mistake after mistake after mistake. But once you got those substitutions, once the manager was not seeing like what he wanted from that team, he's like, okay, what can I do to like change the dynamic of this match? And he brought in those substitutions when he needed them the most, and it just really helped them going forward, because obviously they got three goals back, but it was just too late. If some of those players that were substituted on had maybe gotten that start, maybe it wouldn't have been too bad. But I mean, just the situation, just seeing them in general, was really tough to begin with in the first half. But in the second half, you could see that they got so much better. So maybe if they had the lineup was with the different players was different in the first half, maybe it would have been a different story.
You know what this reminds me of real quick? I don't mean cut. You know what this reminds me of though?
What?
What do we always say about Atlanta? We don't fucking care about defending. We're gonna go for the throw, because we have this exact conversation about Gasparini every fucking week, because every fucking week they concede three but score four. That sort of idea. So I think just curious what you think about. I think the reason he made those substitutions is he realized he's not gonna win this game. He probably knows he's not winning the game, but I think he made the changes because, all right, the defense is a mess. But if the defense is going to be a mess anyways, because you can't change – defensive can't be adapted in that quickly. If you start on the wrong foot, it's probably not going to be a great game defensive. It can, but it's uncommon. It was like, okay, I'm going to bring on Silva, and I'm going to bring on Danny Olmo, and we're probably going to concede some more. But at least with those players, I have aggressive players that push forward, that play high up and are going to recreate things in the final third. And I think he made that change just to correlate the fact the defense is not going to work today, but if I have two attacking players, we're going to score some goals and get ourselves a slim chance in this game, because we can't just, cause the defense, even if you fix the defense in the second half, you're already down by three goals. You need guys to go get you. So, Maybe the circumstances changed in the game based on the subs were made, but I think the subs were made basically to counteract how poorly they defended and needed a different way into the game.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. So, in speaking of Bayern again, today, ladies and gentlemen, was the amazing start of football. Obviously, the Bundesliga is back, baby. So, we had... finally, Frankfurt taking on Bayern in a 6-1 bashing.
Yeah, I mean, this is a rough one, because I mean, it's not the worst opening game I've seen, because 2 years ago, Schalke Bayern won 8-0. But this was a rough one. It's kind of just like the other game. They started so quickly. And it was like, oh, fuck. But unlike Leipzig, and I think this shows the difference between Leipzig and Frankfurt, is the fact that Frankfurt doesn't have the team of Leipzig. And even as bad as Leipzig were, they conceded three. It was five at halftime. And you look at how quickly they got to the goal. You look at all of it. I think it just came together in such a dramatical way for Bayern, that it was hard for Leipzig, hard for Frankfurt to do anything about it, because again, we'll get to why they fucking dropped an egg here. But I think, I mean, just the start, man, you see, and we know how crazy Frankfurt fans are. They're one of the best in the world. They got that gray smoke in the air. They have to wait for it to clear, taking corners, which is sick. And then little Joshua Kimmich, who, you're going to learn to love this guy, because he is the counteracting component of all the praise they're given to these attacking midfielders in England and Spain and other places. Joshua Kimmich is a defensive midfielder and puts almost up the same stats, especially in the passing lanes. But if you look at what he did in this game, just from the beginning, I mean, the show was kind of stolen by Jamal Musiala, but Joshua Kimmich was as good in this game. And the way he started with that free kick just outside the box and then just finds a way to sneak it in. It was an amazing free kick. It's an absolute belter to start the Bundesliga season. I have a few issues with what Frankfurt did. You put one person on the wall. There's only one guy doing it. You got the smoke factor, and he hits a low free kick into the bottom corner instead of curling it over, as you would typically see in that situation. And I think Kevin Trapp is at fault for one goal that was scored today. This isn't one of them, although I think he was expecting for a cross to come in. So then he comes to, he kind of moves in that direction and then realizes Josh was just hitting a low strike. And then he moves his body, but is just a little too late to the ball. So I'm not going to put blame on him, but I think the one guy in a wall of one person wasn't smart. And the one person that was in the wall, I'm not saying this has anything to do with anything, but the one person that the wall was Filip Kostic, who's on the verge of joining Juventus or potentially joining Juventus, already agreed on personal terms and all this stuff. And I thought he played well. I didn't think he played as if he doesn't want to be there anymore. But I wouldn't want a soon-to-be ex-Frankfurt player in the wall, especially a one-person wall in that situation. And then obviously it took there, and then obviously they just kept going. Benjamin Pavard scores again. Again, horrible defending on the second goal. Then you see Sadio Mane with his flying header. You see Musiala, Müller connect inside the box, which just basically a tap into an open goal. And then Serge Gnabry. Serge Gnabry scores that goal, and then it makes it 5-0. And that's the only goal that I think Kevin Trapp should have done better on, because he was in a good position. He was chipped, but he's big enough in a large enough frame to kind of get to that ball, and you could tell that he felt he messed up too because of his facial expression after the fifth goal comes in. And then obviously in the second half, Musiala scores again to make it six, and Frankfurt does get one goal back in the end, but it was an absolute it was annihilation,
or as I like to call it, the absolute shit show. But I mean, I was watching this, and yeah, you had asked me, like, how is Trapp performing? Because, like, were some of these goals his fault? I was looking at it, and like you said, I noticed that pretty much that one goal where he was more so outside of that box, leaving that open goal wide open, a lot of them he was trying to stop, but obviously due to the defensive errors of Frankfurt, it was pretty much a lot of defensive errors throughout.
That's the only one to blame him for, just because of his positioning. That's it.
I mean, yeah, but the rest of it totally 100% falls on the defense of Frankfurt. I mean, if they were more tightly knit, I think it would have been a whole different situation. But just the way that Bayern was able to break up the defense, having some of your attackers and midfielders on one side to be able to create chances, and then you take the other portion and get them on another part of the pitch, it's like hard for the defense to be able to focus on one group. You can only really focus on one group at a time. So it's like when Bayern is able to break apart their attack, it's hard to keep up. And that is one thing that I've noticed, that is they do like the divide and conquer situation. And you see them taking a group of attackers and midfielders over here. Then you take the other side over here, making it hard for the opposing team's defense to get anything going. Sorry about that. But, I mean, you just saw that, and it's like, yeah, that's one thing I've just started to realize about Bayern and seeing how some of their tactics work. So it's like, yeah, it was just so many defensive mistakes on the part of Frankfurt. Obviously, by the time they get their goal back, they're pretty much already like dead on arrival.
They had their their wills for their deaths had already been written. You know, it was like, who, like, would you rather lose 6-1 or 6-0? I would rather lose 6-1, but not by a lot. You're still losing the game by 5 goals. I just want to interject really quickly because I forgot to put him on the list. I know you watched this game, and then I watched when I got home. I've been talking about Musiala for a long time. So before we continue to break down the game, I just want to know what you're sort of – because you're really excited about what you've seen from him. What did you like from this game? What do you see as far as what he can do, especially on that last goal where he sent the entire defense to the shops?
Sending the defense to the shops. That's actually a good one. I like that. But yeah, Musiala. Oh, he's so good. I mean, I even saw the. Obviously, this was, last week was really the time I finally got to see what he is capable of, because obviously I haven't been into Bundesliga that long. So, I mean, from the Super Cup to today, I mean, the way he's able to, like, break away from the defense of the opposition and be in a position to score a goal, and just his ball control in front of the goal is absolutely astounding. Because there was his first goal, you saw him in front of that goal, and all you saw, I think it was Mueller who sent it his direction. It was Mueller.
It started on the left side by Davies, and then it went into Mueller into the box. Gnabry was there, then to Mueller, and then to Musiala. The first goal was completely about his positioning in the playing the offside trap perfectly and just getting on the end of that. But anyway, continue.
But yeah, just like where his positioning when it comes to receiving goal chances and the way the ball control for a player of his age is absolutely immaculate. You saw him being able to start a set piece counterattack situation throughout some of the match. And I mean, he's literally the term poetry in motion. He is just, everything he does is so fluid and meticulous. It's insane for a player that age to have that poise and finesse, because that's something you would normally expect from somebody who has a few extra years on them. But I mean, he is just amazing to watch. And I have literally fallen in love with this kid, because I mean, just the way he's able to perform, especially under pressure, is huge. I mean, what is your takeaway so far on this guy?
So what you're going to see here from him is his positioning is a lot of what he does so well. And what you're going to notice is when he gets into the box, there's usually one move that he perfects, which is a little bit of a, I don't know how to explain it, but a kind of a ballerina on top of the ball. He'll make one little cut move, and then directly from that point, he is taking a shot. So no matter, just bear in mind, when he gets into the box, when he makes that little, he did it today, so I'm sure you know what I'm talking about. He makes the little move, and when he's in the box, especially, he's using that to get into the box. And if you see it, you see it a lot in the first game against Leipzig, where he makes that little move, and then directly after getting on the end of it, he's taking the shot, no matter what, because he positioned himself, creating a little bit more separation from where he is and doing it. And again, if you look at Jamal Musiala's stats last season, they don't look crazy. I think it was like 4 goals, 6 assists or something. But even last season, he was tremendous. And I think the evolution of Florian Wirth last year is a big reason why it wasn't highlighted as much. But here, obviously, two games, 3 goals. He already got double figures in this goal. First goal is all about spacing. And like I said in that last goal, he's kind of fouled in the box, but he keeps his body up with his control. And he's skinny as AF. So he's not a very physically empowering midfielder like Goretzka. When you see Goretzka this season, you'll see what I mean by that, because he's just a tank. But Musiala is a very skinny but very athletic type of guy. So you would expect a player like him to fall down easily. But he kept his control, beats his man in the box, and like I said, send the guy to the shops, and then doesn't have to do very much to finish off the chance. So you see two goals. They're very different from one another. And also, they're designed to do what he did in that situation. But I think this is just feeds in more into it. And I think this year he can take the league by storm, especially since we're not going to see, unfortunately, this is just a totally unfortunate situation. You're going to see someone like Florian Wirtz. We're not seeing him until 2023. So he's going to be unavailable. So the number 27 at Leverkusen isn't going to have the German press fawning over him as much because he's not going to be available. And again, I wish he was. But I think the evolution under this team, again, remember, he plays like a left-wing player that's playing in midfield. Julian Nagelsmann had a problem. Jamal Musiala cannot not play games. He can't. He needs to be starting at least half the time. And Bayern, look at the options in midfield. Eventually, he's not going to start every single game. But he should be starting a good amount. And if you're a left-wing player on Bayern Munich, that's going to be a problem because you have Leroy Sané. You have, technically, you have Sadio Mane. You have Serge Gnabry. You have Kingsley Coman. So Jamal Musiala, it's impossible for him to fall into that. Puts him in midfield next to Sabitzer, and through two games, he's done extremely well. He's found his ways into this team, and I think he's phenomenal. This is a young player that is 19 years old, made his breakthrough at 17, scored against Leipzig, scored against the little brothers in Lazio in the Champions League round of 16, and he's even progressed his name even further this season. So I think this was a man of the match like performance. I think it's close between him and Kimmich. But everything that happened in that match, in the last two matches, actually, is seeing what you could see from it. And putting him in midfield is a risk, but it seemed to pay off because he was just – tonight he was fantastic, and we're going to see more of the evolution of him. And, again, won't start every game, but he'll start a good portion of games, and I think he's really going to he's going to like that position because he can push forward, but he also can drift wide if needed. But because obviously you can't put him on the left wing because there's too much attention and too much depth that they have there. But I think he was fantastic. And again, the German for the World Cup this summer, I think he's going to be a huge star to there. And obviously, So he is one of the most exciting players to watch in the league just because his creativity and what he can do with the ball. And he's very mature for his age. It's hard to believe. You look at him, he looks like a 19-year-old. But when you see his game, you would think that he's 27.
Yeah, definitely. We did already touch on Frankfurt's defensive issues. But this brings up a whole another issue with something that my rivals, AC Milan, had struggled with, just their striker needs. What was your thoughts on that?
go ahead, take first crack. My question I posed to you, so they don't need a striker, not, do they?
What were your thoughts? I feel like without... It's like you're thinking, where are the goals going to come from if we don't have a striker? I mean, you saw them trying to push tooth and nail to get some sort of momentum going, but without a striker, a solid striker, it's just difficult. And they really showed today, if they had a striker who was more available to them, I think this could have been in a whole other situation, but it just, like, without that striker, I think they will have a hard time finding those goals this season.
Yeah, no, I hear you. What do you think about this? Because, look, the transfer window is going to close. They're not going to buy another striker. And the only goal they did score in this game was because Manuel Neuer was out here thinking he was a midfielder, which he'll do from time to time. And this current time, he wasn't able to get away with it. The one player from this entire game that had some level of promise was Lindstrom, who played in central attacking midfield. He pushed fairly high, and he had that really good chance in the first half where he dribbled through Bayern's entire defense and nearly sticks it in the bottom corner, but misfires at the end. Do you think that potentially, if they don't solve this issue, and I do not think we saw Lucas Alario today, so maybe he comes in and does it. But if things don't start working here, and if this continues to be a huge issue, do you think putting him further up as a striker, as a false nine, would potentially help that issue, or do you think they're kind of doomed until the next transfer window?
I mean, if they can't fix this situation, obviously the transfer window is getting ready to close in a few short weeks. But if they are unable to get a striker within that time frame, I think that would be the best and only option that they would have available to them until the next transfer window. But based up, hopefully that would fix it. But if they do not play him like that, they are going to struggle. And I think they're going to be totally fucked until the next transfer window, which will be in January. So, I mean, if they're thinking about it in the long term, if they don't fix this situation in the current present, you have to consider other avenues for him to play in.
Yeah, I think a full game with Lucas Alario up top will tell us if it's a huge issue. It's an issue. Regardless of how you want to cut it, it is an issue. But I need to see 90 minutes of Lucas Alario before I decide how big of an issue it is. But it is. I still think it's foolishness for them not to have gone out of a bigger striker. And I'm not talking about – I like Lucas Alario. I think he'll do a good job. The question I have, and me and Ryan just talked about this the other day, is there a 15-goal scorer in this team as currently constructed? I don't think so. You look around the team, there's a lot to like. I know defensively they were bad today. Typically they're I wouldn't say a great defensive team, but they'll improve in that area. That today was just a bad day at the office for the defense. In the midfield, they were flat other than Lindstrom. Again, Lindstrom had that one move it was incredible, but he couldn't just stick it in the back of the net. You have him in the midfield, and then you have some other pieces, but up top, you don't have much. Again, Bora Bora can be solid today. He was dreadful. I don't think he had one legitimate good touch in the whole game. And again, I don't like to put people on blast, but it was a bad performance from him. But generally, I don't see a 15 goal scorer in this team, and that's the problem. To be effective in the striker position, you need someone to get you 15. We talked about what AC Milan did last year. They had a bunch of players. They didn't have a number one. But together they had a 15-20 goal as a trio, or how many – I don't know how many strikers score for AC Milan, but plenty. I don't see a way for them to reach the ambitions they're capable of without this. Just imagine they're going to be in the Champions League this year. We don't know what group they're going to be in. If they haven't figured that part out, I think they're going to be – I don't think they'll be – they're a good team, so that they'll finish. I still think they're a top 10, top 8 team. But top 17 even maybe. Until they deal with or find a solution to the lack of goals in that position, I think it's going to be a struggling situation for them.
Yeah, I agree. Let's talk about somebody who came on in the second half. I think his name is Tells.
Yeah, that's right. I cannot pronounce his first name, so we'll just call him Tell.
Yeah, go give me what your thoughts were on him.
Okay, just give me one second. Okay. So I think Bayern are a very ambitious club. They do ambitious things. Sometimes they do things that are just crazy. But their whole thing about getting young players is to develop them. Remember, you talk about Musiala came in at 17 and now at 19, he's a different level. Tell is also 17 years old. He played, I don't even know how many games he played for Rennes. I think less than 10. I think he had 7 games for them in total. And they just splashed. I don't know what it was. He is considered one of the best young talents of his age group I think he's French in that part. And they spent 30 million on this kid. He comes in. Again, he didn't play particularly a long time. I think he came in around the 60-ish minute, but I thought he linked up well. I think he moved. His movement was good. He didn't do too much. He didn't try to risk at all. He didn't try to be something. He didn't try to do anything special. And I'm not saying I was I was so gravitated by everything, But anyway, so I'm looking at the situation. He moved the ball well. He didn't do too much. He didn't play too risk. He didn't play risky ball. He didn't try to be too much. And all he did was do the job that to help control the game. It a few moments of some nice dribbling. But I like that they're doing this, and I hope to see more of him this season. And obviously they got a stacked deck on the bench. Their bench would finish in the top four in the Bundesliga probably. So you look at a young player and him getting a chance in the opener, the game's gone, and just getting him around, I think, is a good thing. Again, he's not going to get a run out every week. He's going to develop and develop and develop, and then we'll see a couple great moments from him. But I think it was a good start for such a young player. And considering what he's around, he's in the best environment possible to put his career in the best spot forward. And I think going to Bayern is a great choice. He knows he's not going to get a ton of minutes, but he'll get minutes, but not like he's not going to be starting every game and anything like that. But from the, 20 minutes I saw from him, I think he played it exactly right. And you see the talent is there.
Yeah, for me, I saw that it kind of started off just a little bit slow because obviously he was getting into the, pace of the game. So you kind of saw him take that, slow approach to find out his pace and where he wanted to be and what he wanted to do. And then once he kind of, found that rhythm, he just got progressively better. Obviously, he was playing it safe, which is what you want to see from a young striker who's developing, especially coming up to the first team like that, even as a substitution. But yeah, I mean, just seeing the way he kind of slowly started gelling with the pace of the game and how he managed to do a couple of good dribbling passes was amazing. But yeah, I look forward to seeing what he can do. And we'll see what happens. But anyway, then, and speaking of another player, we are going to talk about Sadio Mane, who absolutely fits in perfectly already.
Yeah, he really looks like he's been there for a decade, doesn't it?
Yep.
First goal, first game, scored. Second game, scored. I mean, this is going to be it's going to be he's just going to be a monster with this team already. I know. I think I said the other day, I do think Schick is going to win the Golden Boot. I think the opportunities that he'll get with Leverkusen will allow him to score a lot of goals. But I think the circumstances of where Mane is going to – it just goes right into him. He doesn't have to do too much because he's surrounded by quality galore. And – you know, even playing where he is, I think he's done a terrific job already. And he's coming from Liverpool, a great team and all that stuff. But I think this is a different thing. And the way he's been able to just slide in and not trying to be the over oppressive player or the number one guy. You know, obviously the number one guy doesn't really matter for the most part, considering the team that they have and the quality of the depth they have everywhere. It's not like with your boys over there in Milan with Inter, where that's actually a big component to whether you'll be successful this season because of the whole thing. But here it doesn't matter. He's just out there. He's running the wings. You see Gnabry outside. You see Musiala giving him opportunities and Müller, who I know he didn't score that goal that was in his lap. But I think that was just an unfortunate situation. But his teammates are putting him in position to succeed. You look in the first game against Leipzig, it was basically not an open goal, but it was a tap-in after a great pass was put into him. Then you looked here tonight, the good cross from the outside from Gnabry, he gets on the end of it and scores. I think he fits the system so well. And I think Nagelsmann is likely to stick with Müller and him next to each other. It works. And on the outside, you have Davies and Pavard. And then a little further up, you have the boys outside with Sané and Gnabry and others. So I think he just fits this system. He's not trying to do too much. He's just doing what he was brought there to do, which is score goals. And he's done it in two straight games. And I think he's already a fan favorite, and he's played less than 100 or whatever it is, 180 minutes. You saw, see him after the game climbing up with the Byron Ultras and talking or screaming into the microphone after a big win. I think it's a great start to the season. I think he just, there's no adjustment theory. He just went straight into this team and has looked like he's played there for a decade. So I think a great signing, and obviously he's handling the business, not trying to do too much, but also doing everything at the same time, because he's just going to be such a threat in the Champions League and the Bundesliga this season. We see what he's already done in two games.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, just the way he just came in and just like started, I would like to say the term fucking shit up. I mean, just obviously a lot of that success comes from being a part of a team that had already been successful in Liverpool. I mean, it just kind of gave him the building blocks to come into another team that has already had copious amounts of success and just continue that going with him, that team going forward. I mean, the way
hold
he
on,
was
just give me 1 second. I am having some sound issue. All right, just say anything. I'll cut this.
All right. You still have
okay,
the sound
I hear
issue?
You better now. Yeah, okay. No, we're good. Sorry, it's just my. Sorry, I don't mean to do this, but just say just repeat your last sentence because I didn't catch it. Sorry.
Yeah, but like I said, he already had success with Liverpool, so it kind of gave him the building blocks to get that come into a team that already has had success themselves and just hit the ground running. So I mean, he is just gelling with this team like he did at Liverpool. So. Obviously, I would expect him to maintain this same consistency throughout the season, but we'll see like how things go when things get further progress where injuries are more likely. But obviously, this is play. I don't think he's really injury prone. So, I mean, they really don't Not have really. Much. Yeah, so they don't have much to worry about. So, I mean, if he's able to continue this pace and momentum, it was just the perfect signing at the right time, especially with the exit of Lewandowski.
Yeah, and on top of that, you put him up there with Müller. I think those two together are great. But you also had the option to put him out wide. I don't see any need to put him out wide as if things continue this way. So, there may be, okay, what will we do in this situation? But it seems like it's just clicking off the bat.
Exactly. So obviously we've had copious discussions about Bayern's depth. So I really just say we should just kind of really just touch base on that just for a small like refresher. But other than that, I mean, the only other thing we really should need to discuss, like how about gotta look at his name.
Nagelsmann's
ability to adapt and willing to take risks as a team with this team.
We can summarize the depth of this team just really quickly. De Ligt off the bench, Ryan Gravenberch off the bench, Maruzi from Ajax off the bench, Goretzka not healthy yet, and then you can go on and on. Till was off the bench, Kingsley Coman off the bench, and so on and so on. So we understand that they got a stacked deck. They got more depth than probably anyone, which is the big thing in them not winning the Champions League last year. Okay, so there you go. All right, so now Nagelsmann's adaptability. I've already touched on the fact that he changes his formation based on opponent. Doesn't mean he if he feels like he has a formation that's comfortable with him, we shouldn't see him change it. He should keep his team as is for the next couple weeks and see what happens. And eventually he'll rock the boat a little bit here. But most importantly here, I think his take risks. Benjamin Pavard, Marcel Sabitzer, were players that did not seem like they would be a part of this Bayern team this season. Pavard has scored in two straight games. Sabitzer's I wouldn't say Sabitzer's been amazing, but he has shown qualities more so in the Super Cup, because today I don't think he just didn't have much to do, because a lot of the midfield was creativity by Jamal Musiala, and it was feeding into the attack with Müller and the outside players. So Sabitzer's kind of just sitting there and contributing, but he didn't have to do as much tonight. But I think his ability to adapt in these circumstances and giving opportunity to players, especially in games like these, is going to be crucial. Because if you have the type of depth that comes in. And obviously, I think, assume when Goretzka is healthy, he'll probably slip into the lineup, and Sabitzer will probably come off the bench. But I think going through these situations and the risk that he's taking, and what we have seen from these adjustments and the team that they have, I think it just gives you more confidence in those situations where we're seeing two players that are thriving in the situation, and it gives Nagelsmann basically every option. It gives him a lot of options down the road in different games and how he wants to play it. He has a ridiculous amount of the problems that he has in his team are, oh my God, I have so many great midfielders. Oh my God, my wingers are so good and could score 20 goals on any other team. Oh my God, look at my defensive options. Oh, what am I going to do? Oh, my defense. And then you bring on Matthijs de Ligt, who I know people don't think he had a great time in Serie A, but he had a very good couple seasons at Juventus. And this is what scares me about this team. He came on in like the 80th minute, right? So Bayern Munich played 80 minutes without de Ligt. And I know they have Lucas Hernandez and Pavard and others, but the fact that you have a very good defender on the bench in Matthijs de Ligt, and you don't need his resources until the 80th minute shows me, again, back to the whole thing, the depth that they have and the fact that Nagelsmann is willing to adapt. And the only reason he didn't start is because he wants to get his fitness right before he plays regularly. But I think there's a lot of here that you can break down or adjust to, and I think again, you'll learn very quickly here that Nagelsmann is one of the best in the business, and I think the way he's handled the last 2 weeks, even though he's got the best team in the world, arguably, has been the way he's handled it. The adjustments he's made has been perfect. And again, when his team reaches full health, you're looking at just an unstoppable monster.
Yeah, I mean, that's one thing I'm going to notice as I continue watching, that the way he's able to adapt to certain situations is absolutely amazing. I mean, if certain players are working or they're injured, he knows who to go on and put on the pitch to get that result. So, I mean, I'm excited to see what he's going to do this season and see how he adapts to certain situations as I continue to grow my knowledge. So, this weekend, we got a bunch of football. And thank God football is back because I was losing my shit. But anyway, this is basically a segment where I'm going to just run off the games and Elliot's going to give something that I should be looking out for and we all should be looking out for in this upcoming match. So let's see. We will be starting off with the 8:30 games. So we have VfL Bochum taking on Mainz.
Okay, now this is the most important thing to look in this game, and you're going to hear me say this guy's name a lot this season. Jordan Burkhardt from Mainz is the player to watch in this game. Obviously, there's plenty of quality on both sides here. I expect Mainz to finish high in this table this season because I expect him to go off. Again, 13 goals last season. I can go through it. With the Germany under-21s, he has 10 goals in 20 games. I think he's going to break through into the German national team eventually. I don't think he'll make the team for the World Cup this November. But I think he has that quality. What you're going to see from him a lot is he is a striker by nature, but you're also going to see him come in from behind and go wide. He is very adaptable when it comes to his movement. So if you're looking at a player, the matchup you're going to look for is how Bochum is going to defensively handle the threat that he possesses. BFL's defense is not the best. I do not think they're going to be in huge risk of relegation, but there's going to be a significant amount of concern on I would be worried about how they're going to handle him in the attack. Whether or not they can slow him down will determine what kind of season that Bochum is going to have this upcoming season. And obviously, on the other side of things, if you look deeper Bochum is going to deal with. They did lose their top two scorers from last season. They have depth on that side with a couple of different options. They're a very community attack. Their midfield has enough quality to at least get the balls into dangerous positions. I think it's going to kind of come down to is whether Gerrit Holtmann can can pick up the slack, and he's another player I'd be looking for in this game. I don't expect him to go crazy. I'm expecting a huge performance from Burkhardt. I don't expect a huge performance from him, but my thing from him is I want to see if he can take over in that attack and doesn't need to dominate, but shows enough quality. We're like, okay, this is a guy, or this is a guy that can get the goals going. And I think with Sebastian Polter gone, I think they're going to need someone to step up in the attack. And he would be the one I would see in this particular game. In another game, it may be a different player, but in this game, that's the guy you're going to look for. So it's basically, but the tagline of this game is it's whether the defense can deal with Jordan Burkhardt.
Up next, we have Augsburg versus Freiburg.
Yeah, I think this one's real simple. Freiburg have been very good the last couple of years. Last year, they only make the Champions League. This year, if there is a spot open for the Champions League or somebody isn't performing, Freiburg is the team I would suggest would take a spot like that. What I would see from the Freiburg angle is, can they do it again? Can they put themselves on that forefront of that Champions League race? And is the collectiveness of their squad good enough again? And can they adapt to things? They made a few new signings, so I'm very curious to see what they're going to do with that. But it's basically to see if Christian Streich's team can do it again. I think they can. Against this Augsburg team, it would be a team. This would be a perfect opportunity to show that they are 100% a threat for that Champions League spot. For Augsburg, my biggest issue with Augsburg is whether they can score goals in the attack. I think Daniel Caligiuri is going to be somebody you look for that game to control the midfield. But when they get forward, what is their finishing capacity in front of goal? What you're going to see in this game is you're not going to see Augsburg have a lot of the ball. You're not going to see them in attacking positions very often because they're playing a much superior side. But when they have those positions in dangerous areas, not to say if they don't score, they don't score, but are they threatening the goalkeeper? And I think Augsburg needs to find somebody that can step up and score the goals. And I would be very interesting to see what their atmosphere is going to be like in front of goal, because if they have a problem scoring, their whole season is going to be could be a little tragic.
Yeah, definitely. Up next, we have your boys Wolfsburg taking on Werder Bremen. Or Brennan or whatever.
That's not a name you're going to have to say for more than a year. I think they're going to be gone at the end of the season. Look, on Werner Brennan's side, the two green teams going head-to-head, you'll be able to tell the difference between light green and dark green because literally those are the colors. But Werner Brennan, their top attacker in their team, is a Bundesliga 2 attacker who scored 20 goals. He's got 3 Bundesliga goals in his career in 3 different seasons. So my thing is, who can they find someone that can be destructive in front of goal? Outside of that, their midfield, there's a gaping hole in the midfield. And that could be a slight issue as far as what you're going to see. So can they at least put in a performance, even if they lose, which I expect them to lose, could they formulate something in the midfield where you could say, oh, maybe this isn't the worst midfield I've ever seen, you know, just to give them some boost of confidence. Because if they're wrecked in the midfield against Wolfsburg, with all due respect, again, this is another team that could be going on in a bad season. On the Wolfsburg side of things, you're losing some pieces, you're gaining some pieces. I don't know if Matthias Svanberg, our buddy from Bologna, will play this game. I think it's 50-50. His fitness needs to be up. Wolfsburg have a new coach. I'm very excited to see what he will do with the Novak Kovic era is going to look like with Wolfsburg. I do like the attack. It's veteran, very veteran-like attack with Max Cruz and Jonas Wind with a young attacker in Lucas Nachea. I'm curious to see if the veteran duo up top will be we'll show that it has some legs on it. Both of them, I think, are Max is an experienced Bundesliga striker that's been everywhere, and Jonas Wind had come in from Copenhagen and scored a bunch of goals. So I'd really like to see if those two can can create a little bit of a performance. Overall, I want to see if the Wolves can dominate this game, because Werner Brennan does not have much quality. So Wolfsburg should be handling this game with ease. And if they don't do that, there will be a little cause for concern on my end.
Up next, we have the Berlin Derby, Union Berlin versus Hertha.
So if you want me to answer this honestly, the big question you want to look for in this game is how bad is Hertha Berlin going to be ripped to shreds? Because I know that Union Berlin lost its two best players the last 2 years. They're still miles ahead of it. And you look at Jordan, the guy they brought in from Young Boys. He comes into this team. He's already scored a couple goals in the German Cup first round. He comes in, and I think if you can just give him service, he gets that ball in dangerous areas. He'll capitalize on it. You have Promo, who came in from, I believe he came in from Bielefeld, Bochum, in the midfield. I think it's an addition. I still think they have lots of quality despite what they lost. And I think, I'm not sure where the game is played. But I think Hertha Berlin are in big trouble. But if Hertha Berlin could find something in this game, even get a point, I think it'd be hugely successful. But I think Hertha Berlin, again, Union Berlin in the derby that they've lost the last four or five times, I think they're in big trouble. And I don't see this as a game that they could do something. But Derek Boyata in defense and Plattenhardt at left back are positive things you could look at this Berlin team. But I think Hertha overall don't have much quality and would be shocked if Union Berlin doesn't roll them over.
Up next, we have Mönchengladbach taking on Hoffenheim.
This is interesting to me. Obviously, I think you could probably answer this. Gladbach couldn't hit water if they fell out of a boat. You know what that means? Their attack needs to show up.
Well, that term.
The attack needs to show up. I can't go through another season of these. I'll be honest. Gladbach are kind of front runners. They have this great team top to bottom, look great on paper, and then you throw them on the pitch, and they let you down in the biggest ways possible.
Bologna.
A little bit. They're better than Bologna, but no, because Bologna doesn't have a good team. At least Gladbach has a good team. But so I'll say this. So the attack with Mbolo and Alexander Play, and maybe some of the young guys coming on and doing something, those two, I think, need to perform in front of goal. If you're looking at a potentially breakout star this season from Gladbach, you're going to look no further than the midfield or of Kone, K-O-N-E, if you're wondering. He's the one to look for. He has got a huge potential here. I think he's very good with the ball. He's good distributor. He can find the back in that occasionally. I think dictating the midfield with him is the way to go from this. I think that could be a token from this game. Unfortunately, I think Hoffenheim, they lost David Rahm at left back. That's a huge loss, but their midfield is too not to be messed around with Christoph Baumgartner, and then the attack is good with Bibu, Jorginho Rutter, and Andre Kramaric. But if you're looking at one player to break through, it's Jorginho Rutter. He is 19 years old. He had a really good season last year, and I think he's going to get even better this year. So I think the number one matchup in this game is Jorginho Rutter against Yann Sommer. We know Sommer is one of the best Bundesliga goalkeepers against one of the best young players, but I would not sleep on Kone in midfield. And obviously, let's see if Gladbach can actually land a couple decent chances on goal, or they're just going to fall out of water again.
Ooh, this one I'm going to mention next is going to be nice and juicy. Dortmund v. Leverkusen.
Okay, here's the big part of this game. Nicholas Sewell, their newest acquisition from Bayern Munich, is not available, meaning they're probably going to go with another defensive option. And remember, last year's defense was not good. So that's one thing from Dortmund. The other side is the center back next to him typically is Nicola Schlotterbeck. He just came from Freiburg. I really am interested to see how he performs against a good attack. Now, people think that Dortmund are this great team that could potentially push Bayern Munich, and I'm not saying that. I think Leipzig are the most likely to push them, but a lot of people are under the illusion that Dortmund are the ones to push, and I disagree with that. And the only reason I'm bringing this up is because if Florian Wirtz was not injured for half the season, Dortmund would finish fourth. So I just want to put that nugget in there. But I'm interested to see how the new defense will cope against Patrick Schick. Patrick Schick had 20 Bundesliga goals last season, and he missed 3 weeks. Patrick Schick had had a game last year where he scored 4 goals. You're looking – the link up between – there's no Wirtz in midfield, but you're looking the link up between – Schick, Diaby outside, and Jermaine Frimpong, which is their right back, but he's wicked quick and he will get in those areas. If they feed Schick in the box, I think this is going to be a really good game, but I do think Schick will get the upper hand over Dortmund. And again, I'm not going to predict all of these, but I do think because of the defensive player that's not going to be there for Dortmund, I think Bayer Leverkusen will come through, but Schick, sort of containing Schick is the path to victory for Dortmund, even though I like the new Dortmund attack looks nice, but I think shutting down Schick is going to be the big issue in this game.
So moving on to the two matches that are taking place on Sunday, we have Stuttgart versus Leipzig. There we go.
Yeah, as good as I really do like Sasa Kalajic, the 6'7" hitman from Austria, and I imagine he doesn't want to be there. I imagine he wants to get a move out next summer. He poses a big threat. Leipzig in the second half against Bayern Munich went for their throat. Let me ask you something. What do you think the score would have been between that Stuttgart and Bayern Munich? They would get wiped off the floor or the pitch. So because of that, I think Leipzig are just too overpowering. There's not really anything big you need to look for. Only thing I'm interested about is David Rahm's debut potentially. I don't know if he will play at left back. And then I wanted to see if Dani Olmo and Andre Silva make in the starting lineup, because that was the big change from the Bayern game. I wonder if Dominic Tesco goes with those two guys from the start this week. And obviously Stuttgart, they need to get the big guy the ball or they're not going to win this game. I don't think Stuttgart stand much of a chance, but if they do, you got to give him the ball in the air, and hopefully Sasha will bag a couple. But I think it's a really tough ask.
And the final match, we have Ryan's favorite team, Schalke, taking Cologne.
Now, this is fun for me because Schalke just signed Jordan Larson, someone I really rate from Spartak Moscow. They brought in Sebastian Polter from Bochum. I was under the illusion that they had one guy who could do it. Now they have two strikers, and I really he signed today, so I don't know if he's in the lineup immediately, but if he is, I would like to see how those two guys work together. On the other hand, we're talking about the ageless wonder on Cologne with Anthony Modeste. He's 34 years old. Last year, he scored 20 Bundesliga goals for that team. I think their entire season depends on whether he scores goals, and I think he will. The way Schalke could win this game is Cologne has 11 good players. Their bench isn't very strong. They have maybe one or two others. They're a very thin squad, meaning when it comes down to it, if they can exploit that for Schalke, that's huge. But I think the battle between the pair of strikers from Schalke and Cologne is going to be the must-see. And obviously, just Schalke being back is going to be enthralling.
Yeah, definitely. Obviously, I am looking forward to getting more into the Bundesliga as the season progresses. I'm just like building my knowledge. But that is all we have for you today, ladies and gentlemen. So with that being said, we'll see you all on the next one.